Welcome to the Eigencast, a podcast about the business of enterprise technology, how to buy it, how to sell it, and how to use it. I'm your host, Justin Warren. In this episode of the Eigencast, we talk with Austin McCord, founder and CEO of Datto, a backup and business continuity company that started without taking any VC money.
We went our first 6 years without raising any money at all. I actually started the business off credit cards.
He shares some pretty amazing stats with us.
We actually receive a petabyte of data a month through the mail.
And he tells us why after recently acquiring Backupify, Datto is moving systems out of AWS and into their own purpose-built data centers.
Because we can do it cheaper, better, faster than paying for public cloud.
All that coming up in just a moment on the Eigencast. This episode of the Eigencast is brought to you by Pivot9 Consulting. You can find them at pivot9.com. If you'd like to sponsor an episode of the Eigencast, get in touch with us via email at eigencast@eigenmagic.com. This conversation with Austin was recorded on the 1st of December 2015. And the reason they got in touch with me was really to talk about their external funding round of $75 million and get a bit of press out of it. What's interesting to me about the funding is that they didn't actually really need the money per se. Datto's a profitable company, so unlike a startup that's burning cash, they don't need external money coming in order to keep them alive so that they've got cash to pay payroll and so on. They've taken this money so that they can invest in things, and that's kind of interesting. So let's just do a little bit of an aside around investments. There's a couple of different ways you can fund it. One way that most people are aware of is debt, like a bank loan or indeed the credit card that Datto was apparently started with. Now that's pretty cheap when interest rates are low, but if there's a lot of risk that the bank won't get their money back, then they charge you a high rate of interest. Or maybe they won't give you a loan at all. And look, tech ventures are pretty high risk. A lot of them fail, and if a bank were to loan you money, there's a pretty good chance they won't actually get their money back. So the other way to get money to fund your venture is to get it from a venture capital firm. That's why they're called venture capital. And that basically means that you sell some shares in your company to this VC firm. Now, because it's equity, you don't actually have to pay interest on it back to a bank the way you do with a bank loan. So you don't have a monthly payment of cash going out the door, so you can hang on to the cash and do more stuff with it. And if the company explodes and dies, everyone with shares only gets to, well, what's called a residual claim over the assets. So basically you sell all of the chairs and furniture and whatever's left gets divvied up among the people who are left holding some stock. Generally, it means that you get zero. So let's go back to why Datto would have taken this form of investment. They could probably get a bank loan given that they're a profitable company. Maybe the rate would be a bit high because they're still a high-risk business. I don't know. The reason that Austin gives, and I'm inclined to believe him, is that they get a relationship with the VC firm. And this is a really important point. Getting the right investment from the right VC firm is important when you're trying to grow a business, because one of the things that a VC firm can provide to a company is advice. You can get someone on the board of your company, or even just access to their advisors to talk to them from time to time about what you should do. And keep in mind that Austin is the founder and CEO, but he founded Datto straight out of college, so he's a pretty young guy. This is his first real company, and it's quite large. He doesn't have all of the experience that a CEO who's actually been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years has behind them. So he needs access to other people that he can talk to about what he should do in given circumstances. Clearly he's had access to pretty good advice so far, but the relationship with this VC firm means that he'll be able to develop as a CEO in ways that he probably wouldn't if he'd just taken a bank loan. So after that short detour into finance theory, let's get stuck into the interview with Austin McCord, founder and CEO of Datto.
So Datto was founded in 2007. I started the company right out of college. And our original goal was really just to back up and store data offsite cheaper than anybody else, and we wanted to do it with a NASA plant. Since then, we've sort of changed that objective early on, and We're now heavily focused in the business continuity space, but we still provide a hybrid cloud solution. So there's an on-prem component, either through a physical appliance or a virtual appliance, and a cloud storage component. And Datto's big magic trick that's really been the reason behind our huge growth is that whether you're protecting a physical or a virtual system, we can bring that machine back right away. As in, not minutes, but seconds to spin that VM up. And we'll convert the physical machines to VMs instantaneously, so that entire process literally does happen right away. And that's been a big differentiator, especially for the market that we sell into, which is sort of the SMB and mid-market space. So you're looking at like the 100 to 1,000 seat market tends to be our sweet spot. One other unique fact about Datto is that we run our own cloud, so we don't use like an Amazon or an Azure or something like that. We actually run all of our own infrastructure, and it's actually at a pretty large scale now with over 160 petabytes of spinning storage in our cloud, and that number is growing by nearly a petabyte a week. So it's probably already out of date, but yeah, continue to grow very quickly. From a high-level perspective, Datto has about 550 employees around the world. We have a couple of offices in the U.S., in Connecticut, in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is where our corporate headquarters is, Boston, Massachusetts, Rochester, New York. And then outside of the United States, we've got a location in Canada, a pretty substantial location in the U.K., just outside of London in Reading. And we've got a fledgling office going in Sydney. So that's where we are now to date. And just from a high-level standpoint, we're on track to do well over $100 million in revenues this year.
Right. Excellent. So my first question, I guess, is why did you take the $75 million? That's a pretty substantial lift from the first round of funding you did, which was, my information tells me, it's 25.
Yeah, that's correct.
Why that much money and why now?
So really, it came down to coming across a fantastic partner, which is TCV. And we really liked Ted Koons. He's incredibly smart, had great knowledge of the managed service provider market, which is what we sell into. And he understood that, and so it really made sense to do a deal. As far as the $75 million, it was the right number. It wasn't too much dilution, and so it sort of worked for both parties. And we have that money now that we can use to make bets in new areas and to build out new things. And that's what's really exciting, because Datto is a profitable company. So, you know, we don't really need the money to fund ongoing operation, but instead we need the money, or we're going to use the money to make bets as far as expanding, whether that's bringing on new geographies, investing in new technology, across the board, a whole bunch of different things.
Okay, so it's a lever for growth, is what you're saying. Because yeah, I did a bit of research, and yep. Yeah, Datto is profitable, which is terribly unfashionable these days in Silicon Valley, among others. I was like, oh my God,
appears
why?
To be, but yeah, we went our first 6 years without raising any money at all. I actually started the business off credit cards. I ran up $80,000 in credit card debt. Is how I got the company off the ground. But yeah, we've been cash flow positive ever since then. And when we took the 25 2 years ago, that was the same thinking as far as cash that we could use to grow, to make bold investments and enter new areas. And so you see we sort of did that with our acquisition of Backupify last year and acquiring the leader of cloud-to-cloud backup. And, it's those types of things that we want to make sure that we've got gas in the tank for.
Okay, so what changed your mind from running it pretty much on your own money to wanting to take external investment?
So that actually came about in around February of 2013, and a pretty crazy thing happened that at the time I was 100% shareholder of the company. I'm not giving options to anybody, and a major security company that everybody would know its name came and offered to buy my business for north of $100 million. And I said no. And that was a pretty intense personal decision. And my lawyer kind of gets the quote of the day on that story, and that You know, he said, Austin, you could regret this decision for the rest of your life from the beach of your own private island. But I still said no. And I wasn't finished. I really liked what I was doing. And so after turning that down, it became apparent that, you know, all right, great, I'm going to do this for real. This isn't, you know, really a startup anymore. This is going to grow into a big, meaningful, iconic, important company. And if I'm going to do that, I need advice. And I need people who understand this market and people who can guide me as we continue to grow. Because prior to then, you know, Datto had a board of directors of one. It was just me. And so with that, I became open to more stuff. And that's when I ended up coming across General Catalyst. And with them, the big driver in the deal was bringing on Steve Harrod and Paul Sagan, who have been tremendous assets to Datto growing forward. And so, you know, much is the same kind of with the story with TCV, is that it's bringing on great advisors that can help give me the advice as the company continues to grow. Because I started this business right out of college, and while I think I have a pretty good understanding of what our customers need and, you know, good focus on making great product, on running a 500-person company, nothing that I've done before in my life has prepared me for that. And so that's where kind of, you know, fill in your deck, so to speak, with people who have been there, done that, and who really understand the industries and the challenges that you face becomes incredibly valuable. And that's really what we've been doing over the past couple of years, is, you know, building out that team while we continue to grow the company. And, you know, I feel like the TCV investment is just part of that, of adding to the team. And you saw we were able to bring in a couple of other pretty meaningful external board members, including Ursula Burns, who's the current CEO of Xerox. So, you know, those advisors are really what bring a lot of value.
Okay. Those are all good noises that I like hearing, that unfortunately I don't hear often enough. These are good things. I've met Steve Harrod a couple of times, so yes, he is a good bit of advice to have for what it sounds like you want to do. So switching again to the idea of running your own cloud, this is, again, a somewhat heretical idea. There are plenty of people who are saying that we should all be abandoning our own data centers and just putting everything into public cloud. Why do you run your own?
Because we can do it cheaper, better, faster than paying for public cloud. We have a very specific use case in that we need to store data at a very low cost, but we need to be able to summon for a percentage of that data a very high level of IOPS, so that if somebody had a disaster, we can bring up and provide them, you know, full performance as though they were running locally. And so it's a somewhat unique use case where you have to balance kind of this, how do I store bulk data very cheaply, but how do I also still provide sufficient IOPS, or the ability to spin up sufficient IOPS very, very rapidly for a subset of that data. And with that use case, we've been able to build out storage infrastructure that is a lot more cost efficient than if we were to outsource it. And now, when we're operating at the scale that we are, you know, north of 100 petabytes, the price difference for us on picking up hardware, on signing contracts for data center space, is probably not dramatic between what we pay and what Amazon or Microsoft might pay for, say, for a hard drive or for something like that. And so, you know, we think that we can operate pretty close to what their costs are. And since we're tuning the hardware for a very specific need, we can do it at a price point that's, you know, multiple times cheaper than if we were to go out to the open market and buy it from a public cloud provider. And that became especially clear when actually we purchased Backupify, in that they ran all of their infrastructure out of Amazon, and we're wrapping up the process now of having them migrated out of Amazon's public cloud, and we're able to bring about an enormous amount of cost savings by running them from our own internal infrastructure instead of Amazon's public cloud infrastructure. And it's frankly, you know, one of the whole reasons why we did the acquisition in the first place. And we hope to have a huge strategic advantage when it's complete, in that we believe that we'll be able to do SaaS backup at potentially a lower cost than any of our competitors in the industry.
Speaking of competitors, there seems to be a lot of activity around what I'll call secondary data rather than primary data. There's people talking about copy data management, and it sounds like you guys have been doing something very similar from an earlier stage, certainly before it became sexy. So we have the likes of Veeam, who seem to be going from strength to strength, and some of the incumbents like Commvault are stumbling a little. How do you see the market generally, and your place, where do you see yourself positioned compared to some of these other players?
So I think the big thing that separates us actually is less around copy data and more around providing a unified solution for a problem. And so if you look, Veeam, they make great software. Their product works very well. But it's not an end-to-end business continuity solution. It's a tool in a chest that has to be combined with maybe another cloud, maybe there's some WAN optimization stuff to get the data there, maybe some different software to back up those remaining physical machines that are on site, and it becomes a piece of a network or a web of different vendors and ends up being built into this homegrown business continuity solution that ends up being a nightmare to manage and much more expensive than most people realize. And so in our case, we're a single vendor that solves a straightforward problem, and we're, you know, one answer, whether it's physical, whether it's virtual, whether it's cloud. We protect it, we store it, we can restore it instantly, we can allow you to operate on it and bring you true continuity, and it's one answer, straightforward. And so it's that unification play that I think really separates us from almost everybody else playing in the space today.
And what is it about the particular customers that you're targeting that offer appeals to?
So I think it's a couple of things. I mean, obviously it's cost in that we can save them money. But I think the big thing is that it just works. And when you look at it, backup and DR is not the sexiest place to be in the world. But our sort of ability to have a solution that just works means a lot, because for a CIO, they can only lose on the backup and DR front. When everything works, no one ever hears about it. It's just invisible and it disappears in the background. And when there's a problem, you know, it's somebody's neck on the line and it's a huge disaster. But it rarely is ever, oh, wow, it's a big win. And so I think that's why, you know, lots of CIOs, IT organizations, managed service providers, they say, hey, we want to outsource this solution. We want to find a single vendor that can take this on and simplify everything for us. So that we just know that it's taken care of. And we don't want to have to try to make 10 different products play nice together and keep them all updated and so on and so forth. And so I think that's really what drives people to choose our solution, is that simplicity and the reliability become something that they can really depend on. And we built a lot of momentum around that our product is incredibly reliable.
Okay. I agree with everything that you've said. I spent quite a bit of time doing backup work, so I think it's sexy. Certainly when things aren't working, people get very excited about it.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of interest at the moment in data protection around the security of data. Particularly here in Australia, there's a bit of an idea around data sovereignty being important. And you mentioned that you've just opened a fledgling office here in Sydney. Does that come with some cloud infrastructure as well as a target for the backups?
Yes, it does. So we have a location in Sydney, and actually the locations where we build out our cloud storage tend to precede where our offices end up. So we had the cloud storage actually operating there for a while before we had the momentum enough to build an office. But yeah, we understand that there's a lot of concerns around data sovereignty, and it's something that, you know, the market is really asking that information stay in country, and that's something that, you know, we're able to make happen. And that's another thing, is because we can choose where to put these locations, we're not bound by, you know, whatever geographies Amazon or Azure is available in, and instead we can open them, you know, in the locations, you know, that matter to our customers.
Okay. On a related note, I suppose, what impact, if any, have the European announcements around safe harbor legislation had on Datto?
Not a whole lot, as we've already got, you know, plans to build out lots of the you know, lots of data storage facilities in countries where we operate in. And as it stands now, you know, European data is not stored in U.S. data centers today. We've got a location in the U.K. and I have a secondary site for them actually that's coming online in Iceland, which is an interesting place to put cloud storage. But it hasn't been an enormous ordeal.
Okay. Yes, Iceland's an interesting choice. I mean, the power would be cheap and the cooling might not be too bad. But what about network bandwidth, which would be pretty important for a cloud-based business continuity system?
So the network bandwidth is actually quite good in Iceland. The latency even between Iceland and mainland Europe is really good. Recently, they've installed a whole bunch of undersea cables that have stopped off in Reykjavik and have landing points there. So you can actually get the bandwidth quite inexpensively. And obviously, the power is quite affordable, and so is the cooling. It's, you know, almost half price compared to a location in the U.S. And it's somewhere that, you know, really does adhere to sort of the data privacy standards of the EU, and so it was something that we looked at and made a lot of economic sense, and so we decided that you know, it was a good location for us to add data storage.
Okay, and that's, I mean, it's been in politics here in Australia for a little while as we're building a national broadband network, although it doesn't seem to be going quite as well as originally planned. Certainly in my own business and in those of the SMB market, access to sufficient bandwidth to be able to push, you know, what are increasingly large amounts of data. I mean, it's hard to spin up a VM that's less than about 10 gig. How do you find the SMB market's access to the required bandwidth in various locations?
It's amazingly spotty. So in some locations, SMBs, they all have 100 megabit to a gigabit, no problem, and it's really cheap. And then you can go a couple of towns over, and the fastest connection you can buy is a 10 megabit connection. And so it's incredible sort of how different that is. You know, we care a lot about making sure that our solution is bandwidth efficient. We use a ton of compression and deduplication technology before we send data off-site, before it's encrypted and shipped off. And then one of the facts that actually I really like about Datto, it's kind of crazy, is that we actually receive a petabyte of data a month through the mail. And one of the things that we do when you get a device and say you copy that 500 gig image, or heck, you know, you show up with 8 terabytes of data that you loaded onto a 10 terabyte appliance, we'll ship you a USB hard drive or a NAS, and you copy all that data, makes an encrypted copy in the NAS, and comes with a prepaid label, and it comes back to us, and we import it actually at the data center. And so we do that with such frequency that it literally is over a petabyte of data per month that we're bringing in, which is pretty crazy.
That is a lot of storage. Mind you, the enterprises have been shipping tapes off-site for a long time, so it's pretty much the same process, I would imagine.
Yep, it's similar, although, you know, copying all that data back off and into the cloud is, it's actually a pretty complex operation to do at scale.
I can imagine, particularly with the verification steps that you do. How does that, is that a similar process? Are you still able to show that, I quite like the idea of taking a screenshot of the VM to say, yep, it works.
The whole process works the same, and we have some really cool technology that's very intelligent about it, and so it knows what points, you know, so say maybe it's your first 3 backups that made it onto the, you know, drive that's going off-site, and so the device will actually start intelligently sending sort of backup 4, 5, 6, and 7 to the cloud, and then when the first 3 show up, it'll reassemble the whole set so that's ready to go, and they can all be verified, spun up, et cetera. The screenshot verification technology is something that is really, really powerful and a very cool piece of IP that we have.
So what's next? You mentioned that you're looking at growth. You've made an acquisition. You're looking at different geographies. Without giving too much away, where do you see Datto going in the next 12 months?
So we're getting into the networking space, which we believe is sort of, you know, underappreciated at the SMB level. You look at a product like a SonicWall, and the amount of innovation that they've seen over the last 5 years just isn't very much at all. And so we think we can build a better solution there. which is somewhat divergent from backup, but still fits sort of our story around business continuity. And we think we can drive, you know, a lot of value in building a better product there, especially a better product for managed service providers to sell. That's easier to manage, that lets them do things like troubleshoot an internet connection when the internet is down. And so has a bunch of really cool technology like that built in. So we think that that's an area. And then I think the second piece is really thinking about all this data which we store for our customers and trying to understand how we can drive additional value for them. So right now, this data that we store in our cloud, it's really only valuable when our customers suffer some sort of a terrible disaster or technical failure. And I'd like this data, you know, we work very hard to keep it and make sure that it's all functional and you can access it right away. I'd like it to be more valuable to our customers on a day-to-day basis. And so there's a lot of different technology areas that we're exploring there, both on the security side and the analytics side, in things that we can do to help that data sort of work for our customers more than just in a disaster.
Well, that's pretty much all the questions that I have time for, unfortunately. I'd love to chat for longer. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't manage to get across?
No, I think that's pretty clear. You know, we're pretty excited about the funding, really happy with the team. You know, it's been a crazy ride, and it's really an affirmation that we've built a great company and excited about the future as well. But I don't have much else to add, so that's it.
That was Austin McCord, founder and CEO of Datto. And thank you to Austin for having a chat with me. And that's it for this episode of the Eigencast. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to hear more of them, go along to the Eigencast website, eigenmagic.com, where you'll find other episodes that you can listen to in the website. There's a little widget thing there that you can click on and listen straight in your browser. And there's links to where you can subscribe using your favourite podcast subscription tool. This episode of the Eigencast was sponsored by Pivot9 Consulting. Check them out at pivot9.com. If you'd like to sponsor an episode of the Eigencast, contact us via email at eigencast@eigenmagic.com. If you'd like to have a chat with me about one of the topics we've discussed on the Eigencast, you can find me drifting through the intertubes, mostly on Twitter, at JP Warren. Until next time, bye for now.